tell you how I got ready for this today. I was coaxed into playing bluegrass, not that I didn't like it, with Mark. You can do it, Bruce.
No, Mark,
you can do it. They sent me some songs. So when I was listening and preparing and thinking about the things, I listened to Mark sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And that prepared my heart. What a tender heart Mark had. And so as we get ready on behalf of the Thone family, Nancy particularly, and Andy, you're welcome, and we appreciate you. And thank you for coming out with all the potentials. We're going to pray God's mercy and grace over all of us, and we're just going to trust for that. So be encouraged. Join me, if you're able to, in an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, what a gracious God you are. So many faces I have grown older with. So many special people that have blessed my life, challenged me, grew me, taught me, shared pain and joys and sorrows with me. And at the same time, I know they also shared those things with Mark and Nancy both. And today, Lord, we're going to ask as we come before you that there would be an anointing of your precious Holy Spirit on each of the musicians, on each of the groups, on the songs that have been selected, so that Mark could be honored, but above all, Lord, you would be worshiped, and that you would bring your people together in this time to celebrate your presence, your gift, your work in the life of an individual, a friend, a father, a husband, an acquaintance, a musician, that each one of us had a part probably in his life in some way. And for the gift of Mark, we thank you, Lord. But we thank you more importantly that Mark belonged to you, Lord. That this is not a day of mourning, but a day of celebration and appreciation and a recognition of who you are. So come and bless us. Be with each of the different groups. Be with each of the people that will be saying or speaking something. And let your presence be known and experience in this service. We begin this time in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. We join together in our first song, In Christ Alone.
Victory, since first has fallen.
Mark Allen Thone, first son of John Edwin Thone and Mary Ann Thone, first grandson of Edwin and Hilda Thone, grandson of Anthony and Francis Polchinski, brother Paula, Jerry Lynn, Carolyn, and C.J. Thone, husband of Nancy Thone, father of Andrew, grandfather of twins Ginger and Drew. Mark was born on May 30th, 1956. I always thought it was neat that he was born on the original Memorial Day holiday. Unfortunately, that day was changed by Congress in 1971, so we all could have a three-day weekend. As for me, Memorial Day is May 30th, and my brother's birthday. He attended St. Rose Elementary School in Perrysburg, Ohio. His first 2 years of high school were at Divine Word Seminary in Perrysburg. He graduated from Hamilton High School, Milwaukee. He attended UW La Crosse. He worked in the mailroom at Briggs & Stratton. He was a stay-at-home dad through Andy's formative years. Mark's early musical adventure started learning the guitar with our father as his teacher. He and the rest of the guitar orchestra would play songs from handwritten sheet music in the converted garage we called the music room. He invited me to accompany him to his first praise group at Sacred Heart Parish in St. Francis, Wisconsin. He played guitar, and I would join the others singing at mass, weddings, or other venues with the guitar group. Those were fun memories. His guitar, bass, and mandolin were close to his side for praise groups, bluegrass music, and whatever gig needed him. We had our own Thone family musician for our annual Christmas family concerts with our children. Mark was a musician and a composer. In the 1970s, he wrote the ever-popular song entitled Burn the Bra. It was a spirited song of the hippie era. I don't believe he published it. Interested in genealogy, he compiled our Grandpa Edwin's ancestry notes and did his own research, too. Lover of baseball, he played on various teams in his lifetime. He was an umpire and enjoyed following the Brewers. In recent years, he started a stamp collection. He stated he started it for his grandchildren. I would periodically send him colorful or different stamps that he might be able to add to his book. He enjoyed reading. He left Nancy with a conundrum of what to do with an 8x10-foot library room full of books and music. He loved his pets, feeding the birds, and decorating the outdoors for Christmas. He was a connoisseur of cookies, Pop-Tarts, donuts, and milk. If you didn't put the milk directly into the refrigerator after pouring a glass, you were subject to a sermon. He had expectations of the definition of a perfectly chilled glass of milk with his sweets. In his later work years, he was caregiver to several home health families. He always seemed to get the clients whose wives greeted him at the door with homemade sweets and desserts, and cold milk, of course. I have to admit, he got me hooked on the cinnamon rolls bathed in frosting from the Pewaukee Bakery, a very dangerous place. Mark was a man of few words. I would say he would be described as a quiet, a thinker, and a chill person. He didn't do anything unless he wanted to. He was true to himself. He enjoyed a phone call, but he didn't initiate many phone calls. I was privileged to get a call the week before he died. He worked so hard at that last conversation. It was bittersweet. We knew we loved each other. You are Miss Brother. Save a spot in the heavenly choir. Okay. Sorry, I'm going between. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Nancy asked for that reading. I'm not a lover of English grammar, but I love subject, verb, and object. I want you to notice why this is so many people's favorite psalm, not only because it's well known, because it identifies God in Christ, the shepherd, and what he does for us. The gospel is about what God has done for you, you dumb little sheep, you. And I speak that to myself. Dumb enough to get caught, chased by wolves, and not even smart enough sometimes to run away. But the subject of this verse and this particular psalm is God has done these things. He is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. He is always with me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil, and in case you don't understand that, anointing with oil in this context is he takes the ashes off your head and he brings an anointing instead. If you've ever heard, I repent or I grieve or I mourn in sackcloth and ashes, this anointing is the removal of the ashes upon my head. He takes my grief. He carries me at a level that I want you to remember that he anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows, and then the last one will follow me all the days of my life. If Nancy is able to hang on to the beauty of this psalm and remember the beauty of this, it'll be the kind of thing that carries you through the good and the tough times ahead. But you have to keep remembering, God here is the subject, you're the object. I came for you. I have loved you. I will be your shepherd. I will carry you. I will anoint you in the middle of any suffering or grief that you go through. And you and I can only look up to God and say, thank you, Jesus. And so as we finish this little bit of this, we're going to finish that. We're going to sing this next song. And if you'll look into your bulletin, He Will Hold Me Fast. We'll continue with the singing of that song. Thank you.
Was for Nancy to give me this scripture reading. It's about brothers and sisters, sisters losing their brother, Lazarus. So I want to read that for you and then talk a little bit about that. So from John 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, and Lazarus. They were friends. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Verses 17 through 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort her them in their loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection and at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world." Hear the word of God. Receive the word of God. I wanted to say a few things about my brother, but first I just wanted to say that Paula did a wonderful job of summarizing Mark's life. She captured the many facets of his character, and he was a character. his talents, and glimpses of the seasons of his earthly life. I thank her for that because my memory file of the past is not quite as vivid as my brothers and sisters. And I can only imagine what they're going to say about me when my time comes. So, I wanted to say something about Mark, but it's always best to speak about what you know and what you remember. And so, if you'll allow me, I would like to be able to just talk to you about his last day on Earth, because I was privileged enough to be with Nancy and Andy on that day, and it was quite a blessing to me, something that my brothers and sisters weren't able to do because only a few people could be in the room. So I wanted to let you know about his last day. When I walked into the room, he still was aware. He knew that I was there, welcomed me into the room. We talked, and I just said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "I'm just really tired. I'm just really tired. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go home to Jesus." And I said, "Okay." He had said this to me over a Google call a couple times before. And so I knew, as my sister said, when my brother makes a decision about something, he's pretty sure about it. If any of you know him, that's true. So I said, "Okay, well, how about if I call your brothers and sisters? You want to say goodbye to them?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." So each one got to say goodbye. And that was a beautiful gift to us. And much like Martha and Mary, I'm sure that Lazarus loved his sisters a whole lot. We loved him a whole lot. But I don't want you to know that he was also very grateful to have a brother after he had all these sisters. So he waited a while for my brother Chris to come, and he really, really loved having a brother as well. So I feel like this story describes us a lot in this last days of his life, because we were waiting. Nancy was waiting. Andy was waiting. We were all waiting, waiting to see him again, waiting to hear from him again. And we had to wait, and we had to let Jesus come at the time he was going to get there. So there we were, waiting. But we had some beautiful people come in the room, nurses who cared for him, a young chaplain who sang with us, right, Nancy? Mark prayed the Lord's Prayer before that happened, and we waited. Andy came in. He spent time with Andy. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And we knew that Jesus would be there at just the right time, when it was time. And certainly he was. So when it was time, it was peaceful, right, Nancy? We were able to just be with him and tell him that we loved him. And I wanted to share that with you because I don't know that everybody gets a chance to do that, that everybody gets a chance to know that the one they love is ready and they're just waiting for their Savior to come. But I wanted you to know that because you're here because you love him, and I so appreciate that. And I wanted you to know that it is true. Mark believed that Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. He believed that with all of his heart, and he was so peaceful at the end. And I've never experienced such a peace before. So I wanted to let you know that to give you comfort and assurance. The one you believe in is the resurrection and the life. There is a few things that Mark and I like to do together from time to time. We would go on a little brother-sister one-on-one time. Nancy would allow me to have him for the day, and he'd come. And one thing that I just want to share with you that was very dear to my heart is, just like with you, he got me connected with bluegrass. Like, who'd have known that I like bluegrass? But I do. So we decided to go to a concert at the Pabst. And it was Alison Krauss and Union Station. And we both loved Alison Krauss and Union Station. And there was a song that we both love. And I want to just read to you a little bit of that song. But believe it or not, he and I actually attempted to perform that song at one of our Christmas gatherings. I am not a really good singer, but he was so gracious because we both loved the song. And the song is called Living Prayer. So I just want to read a little bit of that to you. Through these trials of life I find another voice inside my mind. It comforts me and bids me live inside the love the Father gives. In your love I find release, a haven from my unbelief. So take my life and let it be a living prayer, my God, to thee. Take my life and let it be a living prayer, my God, to thee. May this also be your song as you continue on your journey here. Thank you.
I picked this text because it dealt with a couple of things. A little bit different, but still the same. First verse I had her read was, Jesus loved every one of those people in that family. It's not going to turn out the way they think it's going to turn out, but they are loved. And that always, always has to be spoken and encouraged and reminded. People have to do that. And then I love Martha. Some people have different opinions of Martha. She cooks great food. Makes sense to me. But this is the woman. She's got such presence. I love this woman. She goes, you know, Jesus, if you'd have been here, right? Does that sound like you? Sounds like me sometimes. I get Mark in the hospital. I go, you know, Jesus, I really like him. Do you think maybe? And he doesn't always listen the way I think he should listen. But the miracle of this text is that Jesus doesn't stop loving Mark, doesn't stop loving me, never stopped loving Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But he wept. He wept for the pain that death brings. He wept for the ignorance of people around the whole situation. He wept for a world that did not know Jesus. And at the same time, his love pours out for each of them. And finally, the testimony that Martha gives at the end there, when he asks the question, do you believe that he will live? He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha. And then the testimony that identifies her as a believer, which is your invitation also to learn from Martha's testimony that even under those circumstances, she goes, yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. That was Martha's faith. That separated the difference of whether we weep on a day like today or we celebrate on a day like today. Mark knew the Lord. And he understood the relationship of the love of the shepherd for that sheep, that man that he was. And you can hear it even as his sisters, who could have gone in any direction, speak about love and tenderness for this brother of theirs. And so you and I have this unbelievable opportunity. Today is the only moment you can be sure of. You can only maybe be sure of your next breath. And so my encouragement to you is to understand what God's invitation is to you. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that I am the one that was promised to come? Do you believe that I am the good shepherd? And as you pick this up through each of the different sharings that we're going to finish today, I want you to understand the beauty of the message of the gospel. God sent in Christ to save sinners like me, like Mark, and like you. Wendy Sue is going to be leading us in this next song. It's not just her singing alone, so please join with her. But we're going to be singing this next song as we notice it down there. Here we go. Revelation.
Of what Mark is experiencing right now. play on worship team at my church for 6 years over at Brookfield Lutheran. And this was one of Mark's favorite songs for worship, because it's a picture of what he's experiencing right now. And so I think we can sing along with him and imagine he is grabbing his acoustic or his bass or his mandolin. And he's surrounding the throne of God and bringing him all worship and honor and glory and praise.
Next reader and share is Mark's sister, Caroline. I'd like to invite her to come up.
But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
There's no way that you escape grieving. I grieve how difficult it's been since COVID came. I grieve the loss of close friends to sickness and even death. I grieve the normalcy of being able to hang with my family, friends, or acquaintances without them being afraid. You can't escape grieving. But the Lord says something to us here which Christians are called to understand. It says, when you grieve, you do not grieve like someone without hope. It's going to hurt. I'm going to miss Mark. Mark was an encourager in my life. Mark was a blessing in my life. I enjoyed him. He smiled all the time. He always had something fun to say. And 100 other things that I'm not going to go through them all, but I'm going to miss him. And I will grieve that. But I grieve in hope, because the rest of this text reminds us that one day we will meet him in the clouds. One day we will see him again. One day the very thing that God has promised us will be true. And so we grieve with hope. And that separates us and identifies exactly what we're talking about there. The last line in this text says, therefore, encourage one another. Encourage means to build more courage into you. Stop being afraid. Be encouraged. Ask God for more courage. Have the courage to smile. Have the courage to speak the truth. Have the courage to stand like a Christian in the face of the stupidity of the world and the deceptions of Satan. Have courage, because this is what you've been called forward for. And yes, you're going to also grieve, and there will be losses in the process. But in the middle of that, don't grieve as those who have new hope. Grieve as those who understand the work of the shepherd, as those who understand the mercy of God, as those who have the hand of God resting upon them and the gift of God's Holy Spirit in their lives. Grieve that way. As we get ready to sing this next song, we ask that the Lord would just continue to bless us as he ministers to and through the songs that we're singing. We continue with the next song. Thank you.
rising sun, the moon is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to stay faithful in love? I can't explain the victory won. He's my salvation. My hope is hidden in the Lord. He flowers each promise of His word. I know spring will come. The Lord is my salvation. In times of waiting, times of need, when I know loss, when I am weak, I know His grace. My salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to stay faithful in love? My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. Final day, He will not leave me in the grave. I will rise, He will call me home. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to stay faithful in love? My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God, the Spirit. The Lord is our salvation. Glory be to God, the Father. Glory be to God, the Son. Glory be to God, the Spirit. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our
Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I got a confession to make. I love this next song we're going to sing. And I like it because it's us celebrating and the kind of the Lord speaking to us. Your job is done, Mark. Come on home. Come on home. I don't want him to go. I don't understand why the Lord can't see that. Nancy didn't want him to go. But the job is done, Mark. You've done well. And you bless people. And each one of us here is a testimony to that at some level. And so when you understand how precious in the sight of the Lord is a man who dies, who lives, who is one of his saints, or a woman, or anyone, the Lord feels and understands the pain that people go through. He's not ignorant of any of our feelings here today. But what he is whispering to you is, I have him. It's time to rest, Mark. Come on up. Come on up and rest. And as I picture that and I celebrate the gift of heaven, as we get ready to hear the next group, you guys can get up and get ready to sing. As we hear this next group, I don't know how long the last verse has been written, but they put a last verse on it, not this group, but the author or the writer of it, and they are going to sing that part of it too. And I just praise the Lord, because the beauty of this message is, I'm holding you, Mark. I've got you. And we get to hear that, and we get to celebrate that as we sing this next song.
A few of us were very privileged to play music with Mark. And he was quite the musician. He was a multi-instrumentalist, and he had a sweet tenor voice. So
this one's for Mark.
Your life on earth was troubled. sacred place on the holy ground. Go rest high on the mountain. Sun, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shouting.
Amen. Thank you very, very much. I remember early in my ministry reading an account that broke my heart. And in this last little sharing, I want to share it with you. There was a man who had three children, and he was dying. And he asked each of his children to please come and talk to him so they could have a moment of the deathbed conversation, the love, the forgiveness, the tenderness. And he said, looked at the first child, and he said, "I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning." He got to the next child, and he ended the conversation with, "I'll see you in the morning." And when he got to his third child, he said, "I have to say goodbye. I have to say goodbye." One of the miracles of the song we just sang is that I get to see Mark in the morning. And the most terrifying, sad, grieving part of that song, if one of my children, one of my friends, one of the people sitting here in church are only going to hear the goodbye and not the hope. And so my prayer is that none of us ever have to deal with that and have to say goodbye to the precious people, family members, children in our lives. The invitation has been extended to you. The mercy of God, the testimony of the songs, the singers, the friends, the acquaintances have shared with you the power and the mercy of God in the gospel that he has come for sinners and he desires to save you. And so my prayer is that as we leave this place, we will hear the promise of God, "I'll see you in the morning." And that one day, we will join Mark again. And like she said, that sweet, tender voice of his with that tenderness, and that we will see him in the morning. Pray with me if you would. My Lord God, I thank you so very much. I thank you, Lord, for each day that you give us. I thank you for each man, woman, and child here in this fellowship right now today. I thank you, Lord, that there is a mercy that flows from your throne that is beyond our comprehension. I thank you, Lord, that you have a desire to save all people. I thank you, Lord, that you give the gift of your Holy Spirit to open ears and eyes and soften hearts and speak to the deepest need that any one of us have. I thank you, Lord, that in the life of Mark and his family, we have seen and experienced some of that tenderness through him and through Nancy and through the family, Lord. We pray, Lord, that in all things you would be honored today. We pray, Lord, that not one person would leave this room by hearing the words, "Goodbye." Instead, Lord, I pray that the purity of your message would bring him about so that we can say to each person here, "I'll see you in the morning." And we know what that means, Lord. We know that in you there is hope. In you there is life. In you there is resurrection. In you there is the power to grow and understand things that we can't comprehend on this side of the grave. But in all of that, Lord, we pray that above all we would hear the words, "I'll see you in the morning." We pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.